Lamb was saying before the service tonight that when we pray, we don't even know what to pray. And I remember praying with Lamb, and he got us to do this book of Ruth. Well, it was God's time. Because, as I've said, the story of Naomi and Ruth unfold within the background of overwhelming disappointment. And, you know, when disappointments come our way, when events turn pear-shaped for us, when things happen that seem to be so discouraging and defeating, that's not the end of the story. God wants us to hear so much that it's not the end of the story. Because in those moments, we are tempted to despair. We're tempted to give up. But the God we are here together worshiping tonight is on the throne. And he is working in all things for the good of those who love him. And these disappointments, these tragedies that have taken place for Naomi and Ruth are the background to what unfolds. And the fact that those things took place actually give a greater contrast and emphasis on what God is going to do. And this is true in our own lives. This is true for Job. It's true for Abraham. It's true for all the great witnesses of God in the scriptures. For Joseph, who was chucked in a pit and he was going to be killed, sold as a slave, sent to Egypt, serving in Potiphar's house. He's seduced by Potiphar's wife, then lied about, thrown into prison. Then there he serves faithfully and bears witness to reveal the truth of dreams, and then he's forgotten. But all of this background of disappointment is, if you like, if you're to write a play, it's the backdrop for what God would present for us to see. And this is what's happening here. These two women return to the land of Naomi's birth seeking refuge. They're seeking refuge. They're seeking to come into a place where things might be different. Naomi is reflecting on the God she worships, and she returns to the land to which she belongs, and actually which she should never have left, but she was faithful to her husband. You know, Ruth, this Moabite, who, as we've already reflected on in the scriptures, the passages in Deuteronomy that point out that Moabites should not be allowed into the company of the people of God. And yet this Moabite, who abandons everything, her family, her homeland, everything, for the God of Naomi and Naomi's people, doesn't that say something amazing about Naomi to you? What does it say to you about her character in Moab when her husband dies, when her sons die? What is she reflecting out of her that so captures Ruth's heart that she would give up everything for Naomi's God and Naomi's people? It speaks of some quality in Naomi that is incredibly magnetic, engaging, and takes hold of Ruth. And she leaves everything and clings to Naomi and returns to the land from which Naomi came. And she's a complete foreigner. She knows nothing of this land other than Naomi, the person who's come to Moab. And then the first steps, the tentative steps she takes there in Bethlehem, because they have nothing. They're widows. They don't have Centrelink. They don't have any support. They have to go and glean, or Ruth does anyway, because Naomi is beyond the capacity to glean in the field. And Ruth says to Naomi, let me go and glean in the field. And the field, of course, is of a relative of Naomi's. Naomi has already told her this in chapter 2. And she says, go, my daughter. And she goes into this field. Now, think of yourself as a foreigner. I know perhaps Lamb can relate to this, or Daniel and Wendy coming into a new land, Susan, or a land that you know nothing of. And she goes into this field. What's going to happen to her? Is she going to be molested? Is she going to be, you know, it's like the darkness. She walked in, Judy. She can't see anything. She doesn't know anything. What is going to happen to her here? And then she encounters this man, Boaz, the owner of the property, who appears there, you know, as he arrives, having travelled back to his farm. And he, what does he do? We read there, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. What a lovely greeting that is. The Lord be with you. We might not think that's very significant, but it is powerful. The Lord be with you. The God of the universe take care of you, look after you. Let him be with you. Does that make you feel secure? The Lord be with you. That's the first words that maybe she hears from a distance. And they answered, the Lord bless you. And then Boaz said to his young man who's in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Maybe Ruth was hearing these words. Does that mean he's going to throw me out? I'm a stranger. The servant says, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from this country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves. So she came and she's continued from early morning until now, except for the short rest. Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. My daughter? She's a foreigner, remember? She could be thinking she's going to be chucked out. And what has he said? My daughter? He's taken me into his family? Is that the way they treat people in this country? What country is this? Do not glean in another field or leave this one. Keep close to the young women. Let your eyes be on the field and they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? Who is this? Who is treating me with such kindness? And love, like a father, caring for me, protecting me. And of course, the story unfolds in chapter 2, how Boaz gets the young men to leave further grain on the ground, so that when Ruth returns to Naomi, she's burdened with the amount of grain that she carries. And the blessing is overflowing onto Ruth and then onto Naomi. What has happened in the backdrop of disappointment? What is taking place for them here? What does Naomi think now of Boaz? As Ruth recounts the story of being in the field, well, Naomi knows something. She knows the laws of her God. She knows the principles of the people of which she belongs. Ruth does not know this. She has just said, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. I will be with you. I will not leave you. Let death not even separate us. Well, only death separate us. And now she doesn't know that in the laws that God had laid down for his people, a young woman or a woman whose husband died was to be taken care of. That the brother or relative of the man who died is to take care of this woman, is to embrace her. Even as his wife, he is to take her in. She is not to be left abandoned, a widow having to eke out a living on her own. Naomi knows this. This is part of the laws of God, the God she worships. This is the character of her God. This is why when in Moab these things took place, she bore in her heart the same love that is expressed in the commandments of God. And that is what ignited Ruth in Moab. She saw something of this reflected in Naomi's life. And here it is in the laws of God. And what do we read here in chapter 3? Well, chapter 3 of Ruth begins with a record of a conversation between Naomi and Ruth. And it contains rich insights into the hearts of these two women. The conversation goes like this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, that's what Boaz said to me in the field. Who are these people? Should I not seek rest for you? You know, it says there in the NIV, I must find a home for you. Well, the word here is rest, a resting place, a place to find rest. Should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with those young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Naomi knows about Boaz. It seems like Naomi knows his every movement. Has she got spies out there? She knows exactly where he's going to be that particular evening. But notice what she says. Naomi's heart for her daughter-in-law is to find a place of rest. Rest. Well-being, security for her. She knows the challenges, Naomi, that life brings. She has experienced the reality of the troubles that she has encountered, how in her aging years she has struggled to find joy and peace, that she has been burdened with the reality of widowhood and eked out a living with the help of Ruth, whom God has graciously provided for her. But it's been tough, lonely, wearisome. The glimmer of light has shone through as Boaz has expressed his kindness and care for Ruth. And Naomi knows that this is a sign of his approval. Approval of Ruth and warm acceptance into his community. And what Naomi wants for Ruth is rest. Dear friends, what God wants for you tonight is rest. You know, last Sunday we talked about the Sabbath day and how it is given for man. It's God's expression of his desire that we should rest. And of course, for the Christian, it's the first day of the week because we are to begin with rest. We're to come to Jesus and rest into him. We're to know a rest that is deep. This is God's desire for every single one of us here tonight. He wants us to rest. Did you listen to the writer to the Hebrews who talks about a Sabbath rest that God is going to provide for his people and now has provided through his Son, the Lord Jesus? And he says in that, strive to enter this rest. This is the place God wants you to be, in a place of rest. And as we see this story unfold here, you're going to see how you and I can find real rest as Ruth finds for herself. And this is the heart of Naomi. She wants Ruth to find that resting place. And so, knowing the laws that governed her people, which provided for the kinsman redeemer to restore the blessing of married life to a widow or one who was destitute, she gives instruction to Ruth. It's interesting, this particular little section here in chapter 3 has been interpreted by people in all kinds of ways as if Ruth is seducing Boaz. Far from it. Some have suggested that inappropriate actions are here, that there's some kind of immorality going on as Ruth goes down to the threshing floor. Far from it. Naomi knows that Boaz can take the place of a kinsman redeemer, the nearest of kin, who had the responsibility of redeeming his kinsman's lost opportunities. All could be restored for Ruth. There are four things required in order for a kinsman to redeem. He must be near of kin. And we read, of course, that Boaz was of the house of Elimelech. He was near of kin. He must be able to redeem. He must have the resources to do so. He must be free of any calamity or need of redemption himself. Boaz is often portrayed or seen as one of the richest men in Israel. He must be willing to redeem. It must come from his heart. And redemption could only be completed when the price was completely paid. Naomi is aware that Boaz could fulfill this gracious provision of God for his people. His actions to date have witnessed to his integrity before God, his devotion to the laws of God, of Moses. What was he doing to this foreigner? He was doing what it says in Leviticus. And in Deuteronomy, he was making sure that there was provisions. He was protecting her, telling the young men not to touch her, keeping her pure and safe. He was caring for a sojourner. His generosity and his faithfulness is demonstrated in the provisions he has made for Ruth and Naomi. Now Naomi gives Ruth careful instructions to place herself at his mercy. And this is the story. The instructions are to place herself at his mercy. It's not a given. There has to be a response of heart from Boaz. But Naomi senses that the heart is present there. So she tells Ruth, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Do not wear your normal everyday working clothes. Put on pleasant clothing. Anoint yourself with sweet smelling ointments. Put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. And do not make yourself known to the man. This is so important. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Now we might say, why? There were other people around when he was eating and drinking. Why is Naomi telling her not to make herself known to Boaz when other people are around? This might seem like a real seduction, a secretive, hidden away activity. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And Ruth replies, all that you say, I will do. Now, this is a dramatic set of instructions that places a younger woman at the mercy of a man. She's directed to pay special attention to the adornment of her person. She's to lay aside the plain somber clothing of mourning, garments of toil. After bathing and anointing, put on the festive garments. For the expedition on which she goes is of a joyous bridal nature. All this, however, is not done in order to win Boaz by external beauty. For she is specially cautioned against allowing him to see her by the daytime. It's going to be at night, Judy. It's going to be dark. Why does Naomi caution Ruth in this way? Boaz was a believing Israelite and therefore also a man of strict moral integrity. It would have perplexed and displeased him to think that anybody else had seen Ruth and might suspect both her and himself of an illicit meeting on the solitary threshing floor. Can you see that? It would distress him that other people would think that somehow this engagement was something he had engineered. And Naomi knows this. To protect Boaz's integrity, Ruth is not to make herself known in the light when others are there, but she is to go and lie simply at his feet in the dark. The purpose for which she came had also an appropriate symbolism, which any previous meeting would have disturbed. By whatever means, Naomi knew that this night, for it was in the night that Ruth was to present her petition, Boaz to be alone on the threshing floor, under his feet and lie down. At this appropriate time, Naomi instructs Ruth to go in, uncover his feet and lie down. Some might think this to be a provocative gesture, as if Ruth was told to provocatively offer herself sexually to Boaz. This was not how this gesture was understood in that day. In the culture of that day, this was understood as an act of total submission. Total submission. Get this clear. Total submission. Do you know, you can never know the fullness of the love of the Saviour until you are in Ruth's position. You can never know what Jesus truly can do and will do for you until you take Ruth's position as Naomi instructs her to be totally at the mercy of the man she is approaching and to be in a submissive position. In that day, this was understood to be the role of a servant, to lay at their master's feet and be ready for any command of the master. So when Naomi told Ruth to lie down at Boaz's feet, she told her to come to him in totally humble submission. Ruth has come on the basis of Naomi knowing that there is a legal requirement for redemption in the household of Eli Melech. And Boaz is entitled to take that redeemer role. Ruth, in a sense, although she doesn't know it fully because she didn't know the laws like Naomi, had the right to expect him to marry her and raise up a family. But she comes in total humility, as a humble servant, trusting in the goodness of her kinsman redeemer. If you like, she said to Boaz, I respect you, I trust you, I put my fate in your hands. Now, can you do this to the Lord Jesus? If you are to lead someone into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how are you going to do it? Well, firstly, you must have entered into that relationship yourself. But then you must know his character, what he is really like. And you must, like Naomi, encourage this other to come in total submission and surrender, to be at the mercy of Jesus Christ. And Ruth says to Naomi, all that you say, I will do. What happened when Susan obeyed God? 3 boys were blessed. 2 adults were blessed, and no doubt many others, Susan. Because the character of your God flowed out of your story. Just like this story here. The character of our God is seen reflected in the person of Boaz. And yet not completely, because Boaz is a sinner like you and me. You know, all of us, every one of us here tonight, needs to find a resting place. A place where you can be completely at rest. And there is only one place that you will find this. People think they find it in marriage. I love my wife dearly. She's an absolute blessing to me. But when we got married, we agreed in one thing. What was it?
Jesus first.
Because he is the only one who can truly provide the resting place for me, for Kerry, for us together. And we must come in total submission to him and lie at his feet like Ruth. What will unfold as we see the story from this point on will be a demonstration of the character of our God. Will reveal to us in the scriptures the God of Israel, our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. That's why we've got this story of Ruth. A beautiful allegory that points to the saving work of God for each one of us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to learn of him from one who is his relative. We are to approach him as a foreigner and one unworthy to be embraced under his care. We are unworthy. We are a Moabite. We do not belong. We are to discover that he is far more gracious and kind than we could have anticipated, and that his purity and thoughtfulness will stir our hearts to draw near to him in complete surrender and submission. We're to come to him like Nicodemus, not in the observance of others, but in the intimacy of private devotion at night. We're to await his response and be totally dependent upon his instructions. He will prove to be the most wonderful kinsman, redeemer, under whose robe we will find refuge from the shame of our sin and a resting place to be cared for all our days. This is the story of Ruth in the Bible. This is why it's here. It all points not to Boaz, but to God's kinsman redeemer, under whose cloak we will find refuge and at whose feet we place ourselves at his mercy. And there we will find his love, for he will marry us. That's what he's come to do. He's come to make us his own. He's come for you and me to be joined to him as a bride of one husband. And we're to know that love continually, not only in this world, but in the life that is to come. This is the story of Naomi, Ruth and Boaz. What a gem in the Bible. What a treasure revealing God's character to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story. We thank you that out of the bondage and despair and disappointment of broken lives, Naomi and Ruth discovered the character of their God. And Lord, you know each of us here tonight. You know where we need to come under Naomi's instruction and lie at the feet of our kinsman redeemer in total dependence and submission. Help us, each one of us, to personally do this, that we may discover the fullness of his love. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.